This past week, I had the most interesting dialogue with a friend of mine that really captured everything we're going to be talking about today. He was sharing about what transpired with him over the span of a few months ago. One of my dearest friends that I've known for 30 years had been through 7 battles with cancer, triple bypass heart surgery, and found himself overwhelmed with the flu. And anyone here who's had the flu realizes the bad strand going on this year. Well, it got him, and it put him down for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, he was so sick that he said to his wife and family, "I think I need to go to the hospital. I think I'm dying." And so they took him to the hospital, and you can imagine that their family was panicking. It's overwhelming to think about what's transpiring with him. He looked terrible, and once he got in the hospital, there were these young doctors. It's a teaching school where he lives, and so there's these young doctors who were plugging wires into him, doing different fluids, giving him different medicine, and he started feeling worse. And so he said to his son, his son's a brilliant lawyer who it's amazing what he does up in the Virginia area, representing people who've been through challenging things. And so his son goes and finds his heart doctor who had taken care of him when he had his bypass surgery, and he calls and said, "My dad thinks he's going to die. Would you come in?" Well, he comes in, and he realizes that they're doing the direct opposite of what he needed. Those young doctors had started flooding his heart with so much fluid that they were going to drown him and kill him in 2 days. So the heart doctor jerked all those wires out, all those IVs, and looked at him and said, "We'll take care of you." We went home and had a stroke. And he didn't know he'd even had one. He just had a headache. And the only difference was his headache was in 2 places instead of 1. He had a headache here and he had a headache here. And so he said to his wife, who's a nurse, said, "You know what, man, I think I got a bad headache." And his wife looked and said, "Take 2 Tylenol and go to work." And so he took 2 Tylenol, went to work, got to work, and one of his assistants at the church walked in and said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I got a bad headache. Got a bad headache." She said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "I don't know." But he said, "I can't even read. I can't even read on my counter where it says things to do today. I can't read that." She said, "We are having a stroke." And so they took him to the hospital. Got to the hospital. They obviously realized that he had a major stroke. And Steve and others can realize how it affects you so quickly. And so he's sitting there, and the doctor comes in, and a couple of days later, the doctor says, "Okay, now I understand you're a pastor. I want you to tell me 1 Bible verse." He looked at him, and he said, "I don't know any. I can't remember any." He's pastored over 40 years, preached thousands of sermons, but in one moment, all of it was gone. And the doctor looked at him and said, "Now, wait. Now, you are a pastor. Surely you know 1 verse." And it's interesting what he said. He looked at the doctor and he said, "I don't know a verse, but I remember something I was taught as a little bitty kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And from that, God redemptively moved him forward and helped him recover from that. But as he was sharing the story, I got to thinking about, we get complicated with multiple stimuli. We hear lots of things. Preaching thousands of sermons, attending thousands of Sunday school classes and Bible study. But when it all comes down to ultimately what it is that God intends for us, Jesus loves us, this we know, because the Bible tells us so. And as my friend was sharing that, I began to think about what we're looking at today, because today we launch into even more clear focus all that God has done and all that he wants to do. Because if you'll think about it, God's work is a continuum. He doesn't just start something and then stop. He keeps working all of our lives to move us forward, to help us understand more clearly what it is he wants to do in and through us. And you think back across history and all the people who had gone before us, who lived with a commitment to accomplishing something that was bigger than themselves. And today we look at what it means when we commit to fulfill his plan, when we expand our influence in the lives of those that we know, that those that we encounter. And so we find ourselves in Deuteronomy chapter 11. To remind you, in this 11th chapter, it's in this place that a profound and powerful statement is made. And the statement is, there are things which your eyes have seen. And I've been reflecting all week back to 2005, summer and fall 2005. And I can remember there were four of us at One Heart. Four of us. And we met at an exclusive church that had high caliber service. People were fantastic. And it was Stony River Restaurant. And because I told Cindy and I told Charlie and I told Sandra, you know what? We're going to have church today, but we're going to start at 11:30. We'll probably be done by about 12:30. But I need to just focus for a few weeks. And for 3 weeks, we met at the same church. And you know what I discovered? A lot of people don't go to church. They're eating there and other places. And I can remember thinking, and here's what I thought. How do you take nothing and make something out of it? Only the Lord does. How do you take what seems overwhelming and answer that overwhelming experience? How do you find an answer when all you have is questions? And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, it's interesting because I want you to think about, because there's a statement in this text that is so powerful. Verse 7, notice what he says here. But your own eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord, which he did. And here's what I want you to get in mind. There's a whole lot we can see if we open our eyes. There's a whole lot about how he works it. All we have to do is open our eyes and see what it is he's trying to show us. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Moses is bringing him back to an awareness that if you're not smart and if you're not wise, you're going to forget certain things. And if you forget these things, what's going to happen to you? You're going to misunderstand what it is he wants to do through you, how he wants to work in you, what he wants to say to your heart. And so you can imagine that when this statement is made, immediately this question came to my mind. And it's the same question I want you to think about. What have you seen him do? Because for me, I have watched his miraculous hand do something that completely confounds the minds of anybody who would actually take a moment and look at it and see it. But the question is not what I've seen. The question is, what have you seen? What have you seen him do? Because if you'll think about it for a moment, if I've seen him personally do something, it changes the way I focus, the way I look at things. It changes my perspective. It sets in motion my faith. It enables me to experience something that only he can do. But it takes a stopping and going, you know what? I've seen him do this. I've seen him do that. I've seen him look in my eyes before the 21st of April. I've seen a doctor look in my eyes and say, if you want to see Christmas, we cut your chest open. I have seen those moments where I realize that all of life can be fleeting until you see what he's doing. So my challenge to you is simply this. If you haven't seen what he's doing, then you end up missing out how he works. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, he gives a very clear reminder, because here's what I want you to get in mind. Because our personal experiences have a certain impact on all of our lives. And our personal experiences are there as the most powerful affirmation of his plan and purpose for our lives. In other words, it's not somebody else's experience that is the most powerful affirmation. It is God at work in us. It's him doing something that is so profound and amazing that you can't miss it. It happened in One Heart Church several years ago in my life. I ended up with a serious threatening issue in my left eye. I only have one eye that works. And I ended up with a major bubble in my eye. And the people of God interceded for that eye. I had, anybody who recalls that, I got a very large, giant print Bible that I'd preach out of because I couldn't read anything smaller than that. And I can remember thinking, what do you do if you can't read what it is that's in front of you? And I'll tell you what happened to you. You begin to let him show you what he has done already in your heart through his word. And he begins to speak to you in a profound way. Here's what's interesting. If you run that clock forward just a few weeks later, a few months later, and you see the prayers of God's people, what do you see? You see me sitting at Emory clinic with one of the most profound retina doctors in the world. And he looks at me and says, there's nothing in your eye. Your eye is perfect. Now, here's the question. Was that a product of man's doing, or was that a product of a God who had a plan greater than I could ever imagine? That is God at work. And what I want you to see today is this. You think about your own life. When you get to Deuteronomy chapter 11, he brings them back to an awareness of the greatness of God. And that's what I want you to see today, because the truth is, we all have these intersecting personal stories that are all affirmations of his purpose and plan for our life. You see, you think about my own story, and I think about that. I think about, here I am, a high school kid in a broken home with an alcoholic father and all kinds of chaos at home and nothing making any sense. And then I see this girl walking down the hallway, and I am told it's a million to one chance. I'm told it can't happen. And I look back at that, and 41 plus, almost 42 years later, sharing life with this treasure of a Christian lady. And I think back, there's a God in heaven. He meets us in the midst of our story. And watch this. He always writes a better chapter. And what God was trying to do in Deuteronomy chapter 11 is to remind them that he was writing a better story than we could write for ourselves. Look at it with me, if you would, beginning in verse 1. You shall therefore, watch this word, love the Lord your God, always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinance, and his commandment. Know this day that I'm not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God. Watch this. His greatness, his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, and his signs and his works which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and all his land, and what he did to Egypt's army, to its horses and its chariot, whom he made in the water of the Red Sea to engulf them while they were pursuing you, and the Lord completely destroyed him, and what he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abram and sons of Eliab and son of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, their household, their tents, and every living thing that followed them among Israel. But your own eyes, watch this, your own eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord which he did. So what does he package in together in 7 verses? He says to them that there's some things you can't miss. And by the way, this interesting, this phrase is repeated 6 different times in variation in a matter of just a few verses. What he did. What he did. And what I want you to keep in mind is this. You and I have nothing to hang on to but what he has done. Because what he has done will last forever. What we do can be fleeting and disappear in a moment. What he did. And you'll notice, you see it there so clearly in verse 5. What he did. Verse 6. What he did. And he goes on over and over again to get them to become aware of something. And that is, what he wants to do in us is not defined by us. It's defined by him, because he opens our heart to experience what he intends for our life. So I want you to think about it for a moment. Sitting in church today, and you begin to think about, okay, what has he done? What does he want to do in me? How does he want to work through me? What is his basis of guiding me through life? And what you discover is, as you begin to process that, you begin to arrive at what Moses was trying to do with the people. And there are 3 things he wanted to do with them. And today I want you to see something, because today you're going to hear testimony, not from me, but from someone who has watched God's hand in a unique and powerful way in the midst of all that we have seen God do over the last almost 6 years. All right, so as you think about that, you begin to see that Moses has a real deep desire to remind them that our personal impact, and I want you to keep this in mind as you think about your own journey of faith, our personal impact is a product of a powerful motivation that only God can do. Because when he begins to work in us and he starts motivating us, what does he bring us to? He brings us to something that's bigger than we are. He brings us to purposeful understanding of what he wants to accomplish through us. And I want you to think about it for a moment. What if he wants to do something absolutely miraculous in your life, and he's waiting to see if you are willing to make a personal choice to impact, if you're willing to surrender by way of motivation anything less than what God has for you, surrender through the best that he has for you. And when you do that, you begin to understand what he wants to do inside of you. In verses 1 and 2, or verses 1 through 7, actually, you're going to find the first thing I want you to see. I want you to see this, and what I want you to see today is this. I want you to be able to go to lunch today and celebrate what only God could have ever done for One Heart Church, from the moment that First Baptist Church Norcross reached out and we all became one family. I want you to see that with your own eyes, because listen carefully. When your eyes see it, what he has done, you have to stop and praise God. And that's what lunch is about today. We stop for a moment. We praise him for his goodness, but we also anticipate what he wants to do through each one of us in the future. Because here's what we know. He has for each one of us a very clear direction to move forward by faith. But we have to fulfill the vision he's given us. We have to accomplish what he intends for each one of our lives. And even in the weeks to come, you're going to hear testimony of those who understand so clearly what it means to fulfill the vision, what it means to complete what has been started, what it means to be affirmed by God that, hey, we're right in tune with what he's wanting to do in our life. So in verses 1 through 7, the first thing I want you to see, just three things very, very quickly. And here's what's going to happen. This is going to happen, and you've never had this happen here before, but it's going to happen today. I'm going to preach through a majority of my sermon, then I'm going to stop and have someone who is a part of who we are share with you a snapshot of God's blessing. And the snapshot is not there for, and by the way, you don't have to write anything down he puts on the screen, because truth is going to be in print to you next week, so don't get tight. I got to write all that down. The truth is you'll get it in writing so you can see it. But you're going to hear a testimony that only God could have ever done it. And that's what I want you to see in a moment. So I'm going to stop my sermon right at some juncture and say, okay, come on up. And when Charlie finishes, then I'm going to finish my sermon and we're going to go to lunch, okay? So be paying close attention to everything that transpires. And obviously, like I said, for if you're here visiting, here's what's great about today. You get to hear about God's amazing hand on One Heart Church over the last almost 6 years. You get to hear God's faithfulness. And I tell you, if I were a person living in this world we live in, I'd want to hear good stories every once in a while. And this is one of the most amazing and great stories that I've read and heard. And every time I look at the material we're printing, I'm thinking, what a great story of God's redemptive plan. And so the first thing that happens in verses 1 through 7 is it makes it very clear that he wants them to recall something, all right? Because you'll notice there, you therefore shall love the Lord your God, you shall keep his charge, his statutes, orders, and his commandments. Know this day I'm not speaking for those who have not known, but those who have seen what God can do. And here's what I want you to see. The first thing I want you to get in mind is this. When we recall and understand and connect to his greatness, what he has done, it allows us to understand what he wants to do through us. All right? And so there's something powerful about us letting our own personal experiences speak to who we are and what he wants to do through us. And the truth is that when we start recalling this, it starts connecting us to his greatness. And I'm going to tell you, there's a great God that meets you right where you were and lets you come into a relationship with him. There's a great God. He meets you sometimes at a point you never thought he would, and he touches your heart. You take Jim sitting out here. He touched his heart. I wish you could have been at baptistry a few weeks ago when he was baptized with tears running down his face. Why? Because God met him where he was at and led him to a place he could never go on his own. You see, the story repeats over and over again, and for all of you moms and grandparents who have the blessed story of watching God work in your children's life and in your own life, it's something amazing when we recall what he has done. And today, that's what we're doing. We're recalling some of the greatness of our God. But there's two or three things I want you to see. First of all, you'll notice that he says, makes it very clear, you should love and keep his word. In other words, he says, I want you to love me. I want you to love the Lord. But I want you to understand the way you learn how to love him is stay inside of his word. The more centered you are in the word, the more effective you are in life. And the more centered you are in understanding what the Bible says, the more powerful your life will be. And by the way, it's obvious that 82% of people who walk into church building don't read their Bible between Sunday and Sunday. What would happen if everybody read it? The power of his word. And believe me, the people wandering around, they didn't always listen to what they were supposed to hear. They didn't always follow the instruction they were given. And yet, the truth of the matter is that if they were just yielded, they would have learned how to keep his word and recall what God had done. I'm going to tell you, when you start recalling what God's done, you just have to be astonished and fall on your knees, because he's done great things. So he says, first of all, you learn how to love and keep the word. The second thing he says is don't forget to remember his guidance and his victory in life. And I'm going to tell you, our lives are not unfolding stories of defeat, defeat, defeat. Our lives are unfolding stories of victory where God does something victorious in our life. And I'm going to tell you, some of the most victorious things are things that we couldn't calculate. My friend who had a stroke, when he finally recovered some, he let me know, as he was telling that story, that the first time he read on a first grade level. And he began to read, and all of a sudden, things began to connect and began to flow. And all of a sudden, he was all of a sudden remembering all that God had done, his guidance, his victory. And obviously, Moses said, your sons didn't see this, but you saw it. And I'm going to tell you what I love about this generation we live in now. We get to live to tell our children, our grandchildren, the faithfulness of God. When we do that, something powerful begins to happen inside of our lives. And so a third thing I want you to see very quickly is this. And because when you get to verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord, which he did. Which he did. And so what he did, which he did, what happened here? He's reminding them so clearly that his work is great and complete. It's not, watch this, it's not a partial work. And aren't you glad that heaven is not under construction? That heaven is designed and complete and ready for everyone who claims his name to walk into it? It makes me think about the preciousness of what heaven's going to be like for all of us. Last night, my youngest daughter, she had been going through some of her stuff, and she handed me, and she had found a box of crayons that were my younger brother's crayons from another generation. His name was written on the box. And I looked at those crayons and I thought, how thankful I am that my brother, after living a life of abusing his body with drugs and alcohol, at 34 years old, came to the distinct realization that the only answer for him was Jesus, and he gave his heart to Jesus. It didn't mean his body hadn't been messed up because it cost him a lot. He died at 41. But I can remember thinking, as I held that box of crayon, thank you, Jesus, that you do a complete work, that you work in each one of our lives to ultimately bring us into your presence. And when you're in his presence, it is full of joy. A second thing I want you to see is this, and I want you to take a moment to hear from Charlie about all that God has done. When you look at verse 8, you'll notice this. So you shall therefore keep every commandment which I'm commanding you to do, or today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land to which you are about to cross to possess it. Look at verse 12. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year. You see, here's what you learn. Following his plan always opens our life up to experience what it is he wants to do. Because his plan is absolutely perfect. What did they have to learn how to do? They had to learn how to push through their obstacles because they had some things coming at them they didn't understand. They had to learn how to remember to keep their eyes fixed on God and remember his eyes are fixed on them. Because what happens is you understand that his eyes are fixed on you, you keep your eyes, you keep your heart on what it is he wants to do. So imagine for a moment today, you start thinking about the great things he's done. Or maybe you're thinking about what if he did something great? What if he did something that was miraculous? And then you go, you know what? Now I've seen him do something great. I've seen him do something powerful. And when you get there, you learn how to arrive at a place where his faithfulness sets in motion everything. And one of the things I've loved about our fellowship and who we are as a church is that our focus has never been on things that are inconsequential. Our focus has been on the kingdom. Our focus has been on expanding and impacting the world. This morning when Chester sent me a note that a church in Honduras was praying for us this morning, it just said to me, thank you, Jesus, that the people and fellowship of our church understand that we take the gospel here, there, and everywhere. We impact those all around the world. And so as you think about it, it was in the summer of 2013 that God put together one of the most miraculous and beautiful stories. It was a story of a 140-year-old church and an 8-year-old church who had one commonality that was most powerful, and that was both wanted to honor Jesus with a facility that would make a difference in this generation. And as a result, God opened this amazing door. And he did something great. We called it Vision for the Future. And it was beautiful in every way because God's people responded in powerful ways. And that's why today we launch formally Forward by Faith. And I've asked Charlie if he would to come and share with you just some things, snapshots for you that will help you rejoice in God's great favors. This is Charlie Germany, treasurer of our church and a man who watches over everything that we're responsible for stewardship-wise. So Charlie, share with them if you would.
Good morning. Let me Let me start by giving you just a little bit of an overview about how the finances of the church work so that you understand then the vision fund, which I'll talk specifically about. We have an operating budget. Every church has a budget. We have an operating budget. And since the beginning of One Heart, we have always met that budget, whatever that budget was. Just so you know, over the past couple years, to couch that, the last 2 years, in 17 and 18, the budget was $1,200,000. In 2019, the budget is $1,250,000. That budget takes care of running the church, all the operations of the church, the operations of the building, paying staff salaries, everything that we do, buying whatever we need here, all that's taken care of. God's been faithful, and you've been faithful the whole time that this church has been in existence. We've always met the budget. We've never not met the budget. We've always exceeded that, and the expenses have always stayed within budget. So since the history of this church, God has provided and met that budget. So that's the overall budget. On top of that, then, we have restricted funds. We have money that you give and that people give to the church that's used for specific designated items, and we can't spend it for anything other than that. Gerald's already mentioned one. One of those was the Vision Fund. Mission trips, the general local and worldwide global missions, all of those funds, which are several hundred thousand dollars more per year above the budget, have been given by you, and those monies are spent for what they're designated for. Now, the one that's really been the blessing and that has been around for almost 6 years that Gerald has alluded to is the Vision Fund. The Vision Fund was set up when the two fellowships came here, and when One Heart moved to this facility, we started the Vision Fund to take care of buying this building and paying for it as quickly as we could. So the Vision Fund is one of those restricted funds that's been used for almost 6 years, and now we'll move into the next one, as Gerald will describe more at lunch. But let me talk about the Vision Fund, because as Gerald has talked about faithfulness, how God's been faithful, how you've been faithful, the picture of the Vision Fund and what's happened with this building is just one of those amazing miracles. So I'm going to show you several numbers. Don't want to get hung up on too much detail. And as Gerald said, you don't need to write anything down, because you'll get a brochure with this next week. But there are several things that I want to show you about the Vision Fund that is one of those restricted funds. So if we can go to the first slide. Okay, you got to back up one, sorry. There we are. Okay, when in the summer of 2013, when we came here, we bought this building from the bank. And the purchase cost, including the cost to finance everything we had to purchase, was $2,871,000. That was for everything. There's 16 acres here, over 100,000 square feet of space. Everything was purchased for $2,871,000. If you remember, if you were here at that time in the Vision Fund, there was a commitment from people at the beginning of the Vision Fund to give a specific amount at the first of that period, and then to give over a three-year period. Some people have given beyond that. But initially, with that initial part that we raised, you'll see that the down payment, what we paid on the building, was $821,000. So people gave over $800,000 at that time, $821,000, rounded off, and therefore we took a loan for $2,050,000. That was in the summer again of 2013. So the total cost was a little less than $2,900,000. We had a down payment, and we took a loan for $2,050,000. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So you see, in the Vision Fund, here's a summary of what that Vision Fund, the miraculous story of what God's done over less than 6 years. It's been five plus years, but in less than 6 years, let's start at the bottom. The total given to the Vision Fund has been $2,363,000. Absolutely amazing. Remember what I said to start with. Our operating budget is $1,002,000. There's missions on top of that and the Vision Fund on top of that. So when you look at this and see that he's provided through your faithfulness and your obedience, $2,363,000, that's what's been given. Out of that, $821,000 went to the down payment, which we showed before. Then we've had to make mortgage payments, and we've had to do improvements on the building. We had to do some things here, but every dollar that was given to the Vision Fund has either gone for the down payment to improve the building or to pay the mortgage, okay? So that $2,363,000 is a miraculous number in just a 5+ years. So just you think about the blessing of that and the faithfulness of God's people. That's an amazing story.
Amen.
Now, where are we today? Let's go to the last slide. Today, we owe $1,382,141, okay? Remember, we started at $2,050,000, so a little over $2 million. Today, we owe $1,382,000, rounded off. Our monthly payment, just so you know that, is $11,414. Remember, that does not come out of the budget. We don't have the money to pay that in the budget, so that comes out of the building fund, along with any improvements or anything we have to do to this building. So we owe a little less than $1,400,000. Our monthly payment is $11,414. The loan is structured where if God decides to bless us with a tremendous blessing at any point, whether that's today or a year from now or 3 years from now, whatever that is, we can pay down our loan with no prepayment penalty. So we have financed it in such a way that we can pay this as quickly as we get money, as quickly as God provides, we'll pay that thing down. That's our goal, to continue to pay it down. You can see it's gone from that just in less than 6 years down to $1,382,000. So that's kind of a summary of where we are, how God's blessed us, and a picture of your faithfulness over that period of time.
Quick question for you, Charlie. As you think about what transpired in the last 6 years, one of the things you say to me over and over again is it was the number of families giving weekly or monthly, which was over 95% of the entire One Heart Church family in 2013. How important is that now, that everyone becomes a part of what we do with Moving Forward by Faith?
Well, it's important, because no matter how much or how little, God's plan is to have everybody be involved in that. I mean, this is a building that we all walk in every Sunday. We all enjoy coming in from the cold or the rain or the whatever, and God has provided this in a miraculous way. The First Baptist Church in Norcross went through some times, but they have been a part of this also. They laid the foundation for this, but it's important and critical because when the Vision Fund started, as Gerald said, most families, 95% of the families, had a weekly or monthly contribution, and that provided all that we needed. If you go back to the start of this, we did pay down a lot of the loan earlier than it was due. We were able to do that because every family was involved. The more families that are involved that are here, the quicker we can pay this down. So it is important and critical that everybody be involved. Plus, if you don't get involved, you're the one that's going to miss the blessing.
Amen. Amen. So I know that the Vision Fund was a 3-year program that ended, you know, several years ago, but it's obvious that God's people stayed faithful and kept giving the Vision Fund in order for us to keep making those payments and keep reducing costs. So we're now, it's time for us to act. And in your personal perspective as our treasurer and someone who's responsible, you think it's time for us to act in order to continue to fulfill God's vision for us and what he wants to accomplish?
There's no question. The Vision Fund was set up, and it fulfilled its purpose. It was a 3-year period. Some families have continued to give past that, but now a lot of the people that started, that were in that, most of the families giving, are not here. Some of them have passed away. A lot of things have happened. So the Vision Fund is not keeping up with where we need to keep up with. So we're going to go into the new one and begin there and see what God does to kind of jumpstart and see what we can do to lower that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, let's thank God for this fantastic report. Wow, that's amazing. Wow. I so appreciate Charlie, and Charlie has personal responsibility with our leadership team to make sure that everything is taken care of the way it's supposed to be, and I thank God for their faithfulness in taking care of all that. I also want to just say a personal word, how deeply grateful I am, first of all, for the people who were part of First Baptist Norcross. They didn't just build a room. They built a fantastic, beautiful $7 million worship center, and they sacrificed, and they gave over $4 million to get knocked out a lot of that indebtedness. And even though it was difficult for them and transition with some of the things they had to deal with, they stayed faithful. And I think about David and Daryl and Ken and all these people who have been faithful parts of this story. Let me tell you, I have to just tell you, there was a moment where I walked in this room the first time from that welcome center to this front pew, and I was sitting there going, Lord, you know, the last thing I thought about in life was I was going to have another big church building and have debt, all right, because One Heart had been debt-free for all those years. I walked in here, and I said to myself, this is one of the finest rooms I've ever been in, and my heart was stirred, and Daryl was with me that day, and I sat there thinking, Lord, you could do something amazing in this place if we just yield ourselves to you. And so I want to commend every single member that was a part of First Baptist Church Norcross, not only for their faithfulness through those years, but also becoming a part of all of us together and all of our One Heart folks, and then all those who have joined since we came together. So if you have joined One Heart since we came together, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? So see, there are people everywhere that have become a part of our family as a result of us being faithful. And so you start thinking now, so if we're going to accomplish what he intends, Charlie alluded to exactly what we did almost 6 years ago. We asked people to give a special gift. We asked people to start giving weekly or monthly. Either way, weekly is great, monthly is great, annually is great. And it's interesting, by the way, I have some friends who are not members of One Heart that I wrote specifically and said, you know what, you need to be involved in this. And they all were. They all committed because they saw the vision. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. The best days of One Heart are in front of us. These beautiful children singing are a reminder of that. I sat there listening to those kids saying, that is why this was such a great opportunity for all of us to do something together. Because when you put something together like this, and you have the beautiful facility, walk into our children's space, see if you find anything any better anywhere. Walk into our preschool space. Walk into this room. And what you discover is he's just given us something great. I do believe this, by the way. I'm a man of great faith. Someone could pay this building off in one day and would not even blink. And then God may do that very thing. And you may be sitting there saying, oh, you know what? You look at pie in the sky. You don't look at things in reality. Well, let me just take you back. Let me take you back to the fall of 2005. It was the fall of 2005. One Heart was launching. We had the three Sundays at Thony River. That church was pretty small. And so we said, we got to have more than us. And so we declare we're going to come together, we're going to bring a few people together, and we're going to have something amazing happen. And so I gathered some men together a few weeks later, and I said, okay, guys, I know you know that you realize this. We have several staff members who are here who are not getting paid. We have people who we don't have no money at all. And I said, I have to ask you to do something that will probably make you think the pastor's crazy. I said, I need to ask you to join me in praying that God would give us $1 million. To start this church. If you asked and polled those people who were there, one half immediately declared me insane. All right, said it's never going to happen. I mean, you should have seen their eyes. They even prayed with their eyes open. Their eyes were stuck open about what I asked them to pray for. But guess what happened 3 weeks later? Someone walked into One Heart Church and gave $1 million. So do I believe we can pay off that $1.3 million something in quick order and be done with that so that we can do more ministry here and accomplish more in this city? Yes. And do I believe it requires all of us to be involved? Yes. And I realize we're at Easter season. Let me tell you why I wanted to launch this at Easter season. For what he has done for us, it ought to speak to our hearts in volume. And you may be sitting there saying, well, is the pastor going to lead the charge? Is the pastor going to step up? There is sending my commitment card. We have already committed to give something special on the first Sunday of May. We've also committed to give for the next 2 years. And by the way, I wanted to do a two-year emphasis because I'd like to see God do miraculous things in the next 2 years. And so I want to encourage you. You're going to get one of these cards in the mail. You're going to get a brochure. It tells you some of the information about and all the numbers that you heard. You're going to get that. But I want to encourage you to begin praying now that God's going to speak to you. And we're not going to have some big giant thing where we make everyone go, oh, man, I want you to feel bad if you don't do this. No, no, no. This is your work before God. And remember what we just read. What he did. And I'm going to tell you what he's done. He's done a great thing through our church. And that's why we're going to celebrate at lunch. I don't know of any church in a span of a few years that would make over $1.5 million worth of improvement in payments and also reduce the debt $1.5 million down to 1.3. And you know, it all was miraculous. Miraculous. It was the work of God in all that. And so when I think about the future, this gray hair I have on my head, it wasn't because of worry. It was because of rejoicing in the wisdom of God that allowed two churches to become one. And I say to each one of you, the best is yet to come. All you have to do is do exactly what Moses said to the people. And he said it so clearly in verse 13. It shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he'll do everything you ever dreamed of. If you are simply willing to listen intently to his clear direction. And see, it doesn't matter whether it's Desmond sitting there who's working to make it happen. It doesn't matter where it's Gary over here. It doesn't matter. It matters that we all come together to accomplish his purpose. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe we're going to do things that are going to astonish us again. Because when Charlie gave me these numbers, which I don't spend a lot of time getting caught up with any number. It's the very reason I asked Charlie and our leadership team to take responsibility to watch over our budget stuff and everything we do on a monthly basis and a weekly basis. I don't want to live fretting and worrying about things that don't matter. I want to live worrying about the souls of men and women, boys and girls who need to know Jesus. That's what my heart calling is all about. And so today, I encourage you to listen intently. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a moment, and maybe you're here, maybe you're saying, man, I want to be a part of a church that only owes $1.3 million. I mean, you may be saying, I'd like to be a part of that family. And because a lot of churches owe a lot more than that. Or maybe you want to be in a church that's going to miraculously experience something. You're welcome to be able to join us as well. And then when we dismiss this service, you're going to go straight out of here over to the Family Life Center. Lunch is prepared. You go straight down the main hallway there, go straight through, get your food. And listen, let me tell you the thing about lunch. Lunch is not a belabored time. I'm going to take 5 minutes and tell you one more thing that I want to make sure I say to you that God said to me, and then we'll be dismissed. So get your kids. By the way, if you have kids, get them first before you go over to the Family Life Center because we have some workers who will be fretting for sure. But let's pray. If God's speaking to you, he may, by the way, already be talking to you. And listen, if he's telling you some crazy number, do it and watch what he does. Now, if you don't have it, ask him to give it to you, and he will do that. He will make it work in your life in a profound and amazing way. And remember this, is above what we regularly give to our church. We have our budget that Charlie mentioned. That's our tithes and offering, and that's our responsibility. The Forward by Faith Fund is our opportunity to take care of business, and I know One Heart Church will do just that. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this amazing time of being able to reflect. I thank you for Charlie and our leadership team. I thank you for men and women who, from a whole different generation and leading up to this generation, stayed faithful to build a beautiful facility, to open up a great campus on North Peachtree, to open the doors for us to be able to be a part. And thank you, Lord, they invited us to join in with them to experience what only you could do. And Lord, we want to move forward by faith, and I pray you speak to every heart. I think about our academy. When we walk this building on the brink of challenges that beyond comparison today, beautiful children enjoy learning about Jesus. I think about our children's space and all the new beautiful place that they worship together and they learn together. Lord, you have done a great thing for our students. Now, Lord, you have worked in our hearts and lives. You've given us a fantastic team of people to serve you. You've given us a great facility. You've given us a great family. All praise goes to you because you are a great God. Lord, speak to our hearts as we take just a moment to respond to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.